Did you know this? In the election campaign, both major parties renewed their commitment to funding chaplains in schools. The school chaplaincy program was initiated by the Howard government, and it was due for a funding review at the end of next year. But during the campaign, Julia Gillard preempted that by announcing funding would continue until 2014, with the program extended to rural and regional schools. Critics believe the money should be spent on school counsellors. Dr. Monica Thielking is the Psychologist in Schools Advisor for the Australian Psychological Society, and Tim Manders, the Chief Executive of Scripture Union Queensland, which is part of the National School Chaplaincy Association. Both join me now. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you.
Now, Tim, what kind of work do chaplains do in schools?
Well, Richard, they're there for the pastoral, emotional and spiritual support of students. So they're present in the school the whole time, which is one of the great things that schools appreciate. They're accessible to students. They're dealing with the day-to-day issues that or challenges that students have, which may range from not getting on with my friends, through to bullying, through to coping with issues of family breakdown. A whole range of pastoral issues. So they're like a significant adult in these kids' lives.
How clear-cut is their role? Are they kind of, well, you can do this, but you can't do that kind of thing?
Well, look, it's important to note that they form part of the wellbeing team in a school. So they don't act in isolation. They act in cooperation with the other caring services in the school, which includes counsellors, includes nurses, includes guidance officers, sometimes includes psychologists. And so sometimes those roles are quite distinctive, but sometimes they overlap. So, yes, there are distinct guidelines with regards to the parameters or their limitations, but schools are very, very comfortable with the way that the chaplains have been operating.
But most schools don't have, say, counsellors all the time. In that circumstance, do the chaplains act as de facto counsellors?
Well, they're not formal counsellors. So
no, but there's a difference between not being a formal counsellor and being a de facto counsellor.
Well, they're there as a listening ear. It depends how you define counselling. Of course, they're there to listen to kids and to help guide them in to make positive life decisions. They're running proactive programs to prevent kids making bad decisions sometimes and helping raise their self-esteem. But they're not involved in formal counselling sessions with kids on a regular basis.
How are they chosen, and what training do they have, Tim?
Well, the normal advertising process takes place. The recruitment happens through a partnership between the employing authorities, the chaplaincy employing authorities in each state, and the school. And they select somebody that has the appropriate skills that the school and the employing authority determine to meet the needs in the school. Now, every state education department has a minimum requirement with regards to the education qualifications of the chaplains, so that varies from state to state.
Right, OK, well, I'll bring in Monica Thielking now. She's a psychologist and schools advisor for the Australian Psychological Society. Monica, you argue that the role of the chaplain needs to be more strictly defined. Now, why is that?
I think it really does come back to looking at the prevalence of mental health issues in Australian schools at the moment. And I think as a society, we cannot ignore that we do have a problem within schools. The Australian Bureau of Statistics has just released that 1 in 4 young Australians have a mental health disorder. The Sawyer study in 2000 found that 14% of 4 to 17-year-olds have a mental health disorder. I can go on, but I suppose what the Australian Psychological Society is saying, that as a government, as a society, we need to put in qualified, professional, regulated professions into these schools to provide expert psychological intervention. We need to treat mental health of young people as serious as we do adults. So it is not something that can be fixed by a conversation with a layperson. It's something that does require expert intervention.
So your issue is not with the idea of chaplains in schools.
No, it
is,
not at all.
It is with the idea that there aren't enough counsellors in schools.
There is definitely not enough counsellors. When we look at the ratio of psychologists to students across Australia, we've got figures of one psychologist to 2,500 students. That's in the Northern Territory. Now, we know the issues that that are coming out of the Northern Territory. Mm. When we look at Tasmania, it's one psychologist to 1,800 students. New South Wales, one to 1,050. So the APS has been advocating for the last few years of having one psychologist to 500 students, and this is based on the prevalence of mental health issues and the activities that a psychologist will undertake in a school. And we just don't think it's acceptable that teachers and principals are choosing to have a chaplain. We understand why they would choose to have a chaplain in a school, and we're not against that.
Mm.
Teachers and principals are overworked, and research does show that mental health issues are as important as numeracy and literacy for teachers and principals. So
one in 500, though, that's essentially, that would be one in a large primary school or a...
That's right.
Right.
And we've got some independent schools that have actually met that now, and anecdotal evidence shows that it is actually been very, very positive. So this isn't a turf war, and it's not, we're not being territorial here. We're actually saying that let's actually look at this issue seriously, and I suppose what the chaplains program shows is that there are opportunities, there is money to actually implement some really good programs in schools to address this mental health crisis that's actually occurring.
So is there a shortage of qualified counsellors, or is there a lack of funding?
A little bit of both. There's a lack of training opportunities for counsellors that are specific to school populations. So we've actually called for, I suppose, more research into this area and independent research that looks at the effectiveness of various programs within schools and extra training for school psychologists. Now, psychologists have actually been in schools in Victoria since 1890. This is a very established profession that has developed over a long period of time, and it's evidence-based. Psychologists are trained with a minimum of 6 years of training. It's highly regulated and legislated profession. Psychologists are mandated to do 30 hours of continuing professional development every year. And we're also mandated to report another psychologist if we believe they're unfit to practice. So,
okay. I want to bring Tim Mander back in, the Chief Executive of Scripture Union Queensland. Tim, what's the feedback from school principals or PNCs about the value of chaplains when they've got one in the school?
Well, Richard, school principals are now our greatest advocate. It's important to note that this program is not a new program.
Mm.
It's just that it's now being funded in a significant way by the federal government. This program's been operating in some states for up to 50 years, and it's been totally community funded. What's happened is that the government's recognised, after feedback from schools and from the community, that this was something that they had to supplement and had to contribute towards. The schools are saying, this is in a department evaluation that's happening right at the moment, is that the chaplains do not replicate any service that's currently in a school. They are actually filling a different niche, and I think that's pretty important, that they play a distinctive role. The kids are saying that they're accessible. The kids are saying that they're independent. The kids are saying that they're not part of the authority structure, that there's no stigma attached to going to see a chaplain. So all those things mean that it's a lot easier for kids to actually have access to them and have more confidence in dealing with them with some of their life matters.
Now, state schools have students from a range of religions and backgrounds. How do the school chaplains manage that religious and cultural diversity?
Well, it's important to note that the guidelines are very, very clear that, you know, chaplains cannot evangelise or proselytise, but the government recognises that chaplains, in being in their very nature, have to come from some faith position. But they're not chaplains. If the chaplains are Christian, they're not there for Christian students. They're not there to impose a Christian dogma. They're there to care for the kids, no matter what faith background they come from. That's their primary role, as pastoral care. They're there for spiritual guidance, if you like, when the kids had those types of questions, when the kids are directing those type of queries towards them. There's nothing, a chaplain will never impose their personal beliefs on a student in a school.
You said if the chaplains are Christian, aren't all of the chaplains Christian, or do you have chaplains from other faiths?
No, the way that it works is this is funding's not for Christian chaplaincy, it's for chaplains. And the way that the guidelines operate is that the local school communities will decide what faith background their chaplain will have. And then they will go to an employing authority that actually employs those type of chaplains. So the employing authority that I'm responsible for, Scripture Union, we're a Christian employing authority. If a school wanted a Buddhist chaplain, they would go to a Buddhist employing authority.
Right, I see. Well, Monica, if I come back to you to wrap this up. You mentioned earlier some of the statistics about mental health that are concerning, although I feel a group that encompasses 4-year-olds to 17-year-olds is a slightly meaningless grouping. But how much of a risk are we talking about that is not being addressed because there aren't enough counsellors in schools?
I think when we look at the statistics of what chaplains are actually the types of issues that chaplains are actually supporting, I think that in itself should ring alarm bells for people. So their own report reveals that 72% of chaplains are dealing with student mental health and depression issues, 50% student alcohol and drug use, 62% physical and emotional abuse and neglect. And this is a group of people that are not qualified to do this type of to practice in this way, and there's no regulation around it. And what is also very alarming, the lowest rating given by both chaplains and principals on an activity that they do was actually referring students to specialist assistance. So the APS sees that as being a problem, okay? So, and we think that stricter rules need to be put around this program.
All right.
That we recognise and actually congratulate Scriptural Union for saying that they work in conjunction with wellbeing staff, but we actually think it needs to go further in actually saying that it needs to be they need to practice under the guidance of more specialised mental health services.
Thank you both for your time today. That's Dr. Monica Thielke. She's a psychologist in schools advisor for the Australian Psychological Society. Tim Manders, Chief Executive of Scripture Union Queensland, which is part of the National School Chaplaincy Association. And that organisation is the employing agency for 75% of chaplains in state schools nationally. Still to come today, the girls orphaned by the Irish famine and how they changed the face of Australia. But next, public life and private grief with Mary Delahunty.